So the day of the track meet, it finally comes down to the 440-yard race. This race was taking place before we had meters, so it was still yards. And all of the runners lined up in their blocks, they waited for the sound of the gun, and when it hit, they were off like lightning. And just as they were coming around the first bend, the runners all bunched up together, and one of them got knocked over, and the crowd gasps, "Oh no." And then it's like something came over him, and he shot up like lightning and took off. And he ran and actually overtook all of the other runners to win the race. And if you've ever seen Chariots of Fire, award-winning movie from 1981, you're hearing that music in your mind right now. Da 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 da. This movie, it's a classic, but I've been thinking about it and watching it over and over, especially that scene, because in the past year, even though we're into 2021, I feel like a lot of us have been knocked over by life, by culture, by the media, by politics, by injustice, by just our culture changing. Like, church was hard enough when people were pretending to be nice to each other. And now it seems like no one's pretending anymore. And we're knocked over. So like that runner, what are we gonna do? What would you do if you were knocked over? If it was me in an athletic track and field race, I didn't have much of a chance to start with. But in life, like, we're knocked over and now we have a choice about what we're going to do. We have this time available to us. We still have breath in our lungs. What are we going to do? And I keep coming back to this truth that God wants us to be a part of changing lives. For the past year, I've been meditating on Colossians 1, 28 and 29. At the very end, it says for us to present everyone fully mature in Christ, that we're to go on this journey towards the end goal to win the prize. And that end prize is being with Jesus. And in that relationship and in that close relationship with Jesus, we start to become like Jesus. And this theme of going towards an end goal and running a race is all throughout the scriptures, especially the New Testament scriptures written by the Apostle Paul. And in his letter to the Philippians, he writes in Philippians 3:13, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ." What's one thing? What's your one thing that if you changed would move you forward in your life? If you remember, if you're taking notes, this is not my expectation, but at the turn of the year, right before the new year, I was asking and asking that of myself and inviting everyone else to ask, what's the one thing in my life that if I could change that, it would remove a barrier for me on my spiritual journey towards being with Jesus all the time and becoming like Jesus? And just as a little refresher, now that we're almost to Easter, what's knocking you off course in 2021? What's going on that you think, oh, if I could just move that? Maybe it's a failed New Year's resolution, or you feel like you're still running around the same hurtful habit and you're struggling with the same sins that you did 6 months ago or 6 years ago. And that's not God's heart for us to be held back by these things, because one thing is important in our life. That's being with Jesus. That nothing else is more important than that. And as we pick ourselves up in many ways and dust ourselves off and hopefully waiting for God to fill us up so we can run again, I take a couple of things from this passage we just read, that forgetting what is behind and dealing with it. I'm not saying to stuff it down. I'm not saying to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and just keep going and tough it out. But like, let's deal with the past in a healthy way and move on. Forgive who we need to forgive, ask for forgiveness who we need to forgive from people who need to forgive us, and move on, and not rehearse past hurts and rehearse past things that we've done or we've done to others, and press on and keep going and look ahead to the future. You know, My goodness. This is 2021. We have made it this far. You've still got breath in your lungs and you still have a purpose. I was listening to a friend talk the other day who lives in Portland, and he was saying there's a slogan with restaurants up there. And with all the shutdowns and changing regulations, they've changed it to just staying open is the new success. Like, I think just being here, and you've made it here to this worship gathering together. You are a success. You have made it. And let's look forward to the future. I feel it bubbling up in my heart and in my spirit that there's a spiritual spring coming for Solid Ground Church. Our world, our circumstances, our culture, it may not look good and it may not get better. But for us, we have presence. We have God's presence with us and access to the power that's more powerful than caused Eric Liddell to get up and run and beat him, his friends or his competitors in a track race. Like, we have the access to the power of the living God living within us that can take us through anything. So let's look forward to it, even if it's scary, even if it seems bigger than us. But together, and more importantly, like with God working with us together, we can make it through anything. Let's look forward. And another thing about that passage is that God gives us another chance. God always gives us another chance, no matter what has knocked you down. Maybe it's been seasons with depression this year. I know I've gone through a couple of dark patches during the pandemic. God's mercies are new every morning. Don't give up if you feel like you're hanging on by a thread. Like, God is with you and God is willing to give you another second chance. Maybe you've fallen into some unhealthy habits. Maybe during the pandemic, you know, at one point there was no toilet paper on the shelves. And I kept walking by the liquor aisle going, wow, that's looking kind of empty too. Like, maybe there's habits that you've fallen into trying to cope or medicate yourself that now God's saying, that's holding you back. My son, my daughter, only one thing is important right now. Maybe it's unhealthy relationships that are holding you back. And maybe there's a work relationship that's just getting a little bit too comfortable. And maybe even now you're sensing like, okay, God's putting his finger on that, saying, okay, only one thing's important. Give me your whole life, even your relationship. Or maybe it's just spending too much time in front of our phones or our TVs and not filling our souls with everything that's good and pure and true and right. I know that's been my journey. God's been telling me, okay, one episode of Star Trek. Okay, that's fine. Five's a little bit too much. So there's no judgment here. Like, even good things can become huge distractions. But only one thing is going to get us through this season and whatever is to come next. And that's the presence of Jesus. So I started, you know, as in preparing this, asking, like, what would other people say about this? And David, the psalmist, King David, writes this in Psalm 27. He says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." That's the one thing he wanted, is to be with Jesus. And in the past 3 or 4 weeks, we've talked about spiritual maps and like, where does God want us to head? And it's not this grand thing. You know, so many of us who grew up in the church were scared, like, what if God wants me to be a missionary to Africa? Or Iowa, I don't know. Like, I think it's bigger than that, because God wants all of us, no matter what we wind up doing for a paycheck, or no matter what our gifts are, that we're doing things publicly or privately. Like, God just wants us to be with him. And it's not so much about what we're doing, but it's about what God wants to do in us and shaping our hearts and our minds and the inner motivations. And David is saying that here, saying like, I just want to be with God, because he knows by this point in his life, he's worked up a healthy hunger and a thirst for righteousness and right living and being with God. That's the goal, for us to be closer to Jesus. If you're in college right now and you're wondering, like, what's the goal for my life? How am I going to make the right mark on the world. Like, this is the first thing. All that other stuff will come. If you're in middle age and your kids are driving you crazy and you're like, I used to struggle with where am I going to point all this energy? And now I'm like, I don't have any energy. And you feel like you've been knocked off. Like, this is the one thing is making sure that you're prioritizing your source of life and your source of energy, time with Jesus. Or maybe you're a little bit more seasoned in life and you're thinking a lot, I used to be able to do this and go here and used to be able to do all these things and now I can't. The goal for your life was never what you can do by your own strength and by your own skill. The goal for your life, if you have breath in your lungs, is to be with Jesus, and that will make you more like Jesus, and your purpose will come. That we have to get our order right is heading towards being with Jesus. We see Jesus talking about this in Luke chapter 18, 22. This rich young ruler came up to him and they have this conversation and he's ticking all the boxes and he's following everything to the letter of the law of righteousness and right living. And Jesus turns to him and he says, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. It's not about what we do for Jesus. It's not about us being in public, and it's not even about our possessions. It's about being with Jesus. That's Jesus's invitation to us again. And maybe for some of you, you're remembering, Mike's been talking about this a lot lately, and that's on purpose. Like, Jesus's invitation to all of us in every step of our journey is to follow him. What are we doing with that? Moment by moment, day by day, what's our one thing going to be? You know, what's the one thing that Jesus is asking you, right? And this is just for you. You don't have to put it in the comments or anything, but what is Jesus asking you for? Is it more of your time? Is it more of your heart and your attention? Is it more of your material possessions? And that's between you and Jesus. Is it just giving God your anxiety about all these things that might happen? What's the one thing Jesus is asking you to give him so he can carry it? Because it's not God's will for you to be held back by any of these things, for any of these things to be in front of Jesus. Like, got to get our order right, that Jesus is the one thing. And Mary and Martha, you know, had invited Jesus over to their house. And this is a refresher for many of you, but this is connected. I want us to think about this for just a minute. Luke 10, 38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Only one thing is, there it is again, to be with Jesus. Mary was actually sitting at Jesus's feet. And, you know, just a word about this. When I read this, I tend to be like, oh, Martha, you just sit down, get out of the kitchen and spend time with Jesus, woman. And I had a little check when I was going over this week, because Martha, I think I'm actually more like her in some ways, because she just got distracted. I've skipped over for decades now, the fact that Martha opened her home to Jesus. Martha was preparing things and ready to give, you know, gifts, her service, her food, her hospitality, but she did get distracted. And that distraction led her to get angry with her sister. So let's take it a little easy on Martha. Let's show her some grace. But let's also think about the times where we get distracted. We may have good intentions. We may be serving in the local church and doing things and get distracted and think, well, I'm showing up on time or I'm doing this. And all of a sudden we're not serving cleanly anymore. And we're serving out of a heart of of striving and being angry with other people. That can happen. But let's choose what Mary did and choose what's best. And this text challenges us to make three decisions. The first one is, I choose to make the most of my time. And we talked about Martha getting a bad rap and getting distracted, but these aren't wasted years. Whether you're a teenager or whether you're a lot more old, whether you're not a teenager and you wish you were again, like, God has given us this time and it's precious. And there's a reason why we're alive in 2021. You know, Paul writes later in Ephesians, in chapter 5, he says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because these days are evil. That phrase, making the most of every time, making the most of every opportunity, that comes from a word of like, we have this window of time. And these aren't just do-over years. Like, we can't miss out on what God wants to do in us and through us. And there are so many ways where we can get distracted in our culture now, whether it's the news, whether it's social media, and all of those things have their place. But let's make the choice. Again, let's not wait till next January. Like, let's make the most out of the time we have to be with Jesus. The second one is closely related. I choose to get rid of distractions. We live in a world that's getting distracted to death. And I looked up the stats, and the latest information that I found from several different sources says that millennials spend about 5.7 hours every day consuming content on their phone. And so many of us love to pick on millennials, but the boomer generation spends about 5 hours on average on their phone. So a lot of us are on our phones a lot, and I'm so grateful for my smartphone. But what if we chose to get rid of some of those distractions? Even just turning off the notifications on your phone can be a spiritual exercise. It will create more time in your day for Jesus if you're not going, oh, who's this? What's that? What's that? Or just laying it down more. Like, 5 hours every day adds up to a lot. It takes 10,000 hours to become an expert in something. Like, after a few years, we could be an expert in something if we just put our phone down a little bit. And I would love to be an expert in spending time with Jesus. That's our invitation today. You know, Corrie Ten Boom said, if the devil can't make us bad, he'll make us distracted. That's truer today than ever before. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Enjoying God. Enjoying God is what we're after. This isn't just one more thing to do. I think Jesus is inviting us to take stock of our lives. We've had a year where so much was just wiped off the table. And now what are we gonna put back in? I don't wanna go back to rushing around from thing to thing to thing. I'm not here, there's not going to be an invitation to do more and serve more. We need help here, we need help here. This is an invitation to take stock of our life and think, what's the most important thing I'm going to carry forward into the next season? How am I going to ensure that the most important things are in my life and in place as I move forward? And third is, I choose to prioritize the presence of Jesus in my life. Because and I'm saying this as a pastor, an hour in church a week just doesn't cut it. And again, I'm not saying strive and work harder. I'm saying even just stopping for a couple moments. Now, here's a good use for a notification on your phone. Just put a notification on there several times a day. Hey, remember Jesus. Even just turning your heart 3 or 4 or 5 times a day will make a difference. Just remembering, what would God have me do in this moment? Who would God have me be in this moment? What would Jesus have me say in this moment? Begins to mess with our priorities and mess with our rhythms if we're continually remembering God. Not just making God, oh yeah, that's his box on Sunday. He gets an hour on Sunday morning in person, or whenever I consume and join Solid Ground Church during the week, and that's his spot. Like, Jesus wants to be involved in everything. It's all his. So what this one thing is, you know, Paul writes in Philippians, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. No matter what we're going after, compared to the peace, compared to the lowered anxiety, compared to the purpose, knowing why we're here on this planet, everything else is garbage. And that's an interesting word study if you want to look up the original idea conveyed there in the biblical language. It's garbage. And so many of us have spent so much time running after things that we think our own personal improvement plans, thinking that that's what will give us fulfillment and meaning. But really, the thing that gives us true peace is pursuing time with Jesus, even in the midst of our day. We all can't be monks and nuns and live away from the world for a while. I think that's not what God is asking for. God is asking us to invite him into our everyday eating, drinking, sleeping, walking around, talking life. God wants to infuse all of that with purpose and meaning and give us the energy to do it. Because that's actually the problem with the one thing, is that God wants everything. It does take a surrender of all parts of our external world and our internal world. And the good news in that is that we don't have to do it alone. I found this gem hidden here that I've just passed over so many times in the 12th verse of Philippians chapter 3. Paul says, not that I've already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And even as I don't know all of you perfectly, but I know if you're anything like me, when you heard that, I'm pressing on to take hold, that's the part we latched on to and said, oh, great, got to try harder again, got to read, got to get in the Word a little bit more. I don't have time for that. But there's this amazing wordplay, and Paul is using repetition on purpose, that we do take hold of that, you know, that God has called us to. But the second part of that, there's this image of Christ taking hold of us. And as much as I like the Chariots of Fire moment and that story, there's another Olympic moment that drives verse 12 home for you and me. And that was the race a few years ago where Derek Redmond was running down the track. And after years and years of training and the ups and downs, you can see the moment where his hamstring snaps. You can see the anguish, not just on his face, but his whole body, physical, mental, emotional pain. And then there's a stirring, a commotion in the crowd, and someone's pushing past the security guards and the attendants. And you can see that it's Derek's dad, Jim, and he's running up and he picks his son up and puts his son's arm around his shoulder and walks with him step by step. And his dad is giving him encouragement on the side, patting his son on the chest, and walks him all the way to the finish line. So my friends, that's the image of Christ taking hold of you. And all you have to do is let go of your personal programs for self-improvement, for bettering your own situations or your own attempts at controlling the external world around you, and let Jesus take hold of you and guide you with that. This happens in the context of you finishing the race. It happens in the context of God's grace and God's presence saying, I got you. We're going to make it. And the end result doesn't have to be you being the next great evangelist or being the next amazing entrepreneur or anything public. Like, what God cares about is the direction of your heart. Listen to these words from one of the the spiritual masters, one of the Christian heroes of the faith who spent most of his life doing dishes in a monastery. Brother Lawrence says, "We ought not to be weary of doing little things for the love of God, for he regards not the greatness of the work, but the love with which it is performed." God, our scale of striving, especially here in the West, is I want to win the race. I want to accomplish, and I want to serve God. And we think that means doing things publicly or doing things actually. And I say this pastorally, the way the world measures things. God doesn't measure things by might, by physical strength. God doesn't measure things by quickness. He has a completely different scale and a completely different kingdom. You know the way you finish the race? It's turning your heart towards God and trusting God with the little things, the things that the world's like, that's kind of normal. No, that's the point. Like turning your heart towards God, even something like doing the dishes, if it's done for the glory of God and out of a heart of, God, I'm making your world better, one less dirty dish at a time, one less jelly-faced toddler at a time, one spreadsheet done at a time, one homework assignment done at a time, one babysitting my grandkids so my kids can invest in their marriage, one at a time, or even if it's not anything physical, just one moment at a time, remembering, hi, Jesus, you're with me in this moment. Like that's how we get the fuel to finish the race. And being with Jesus like that in every single moment, that is us crossing the finish line with our Heavenly Father right by our side saying, look, you did it. You did it. I'm like, no, I didn't. Yeah, it was me and you. I pushed you through. So my prayer for you this week is that you can sense that. And if you've never sensed that, you know, I can help you out right now. If you feel God tugging at your heart and you've never given up your life for Jesus and surrendered everything so you can get the one thing that's better, I'm going to pray a prayer here in just a moment. And you can use your own words for this. You can use my words. You can pray along with me. And after you pray about it, we want to know that you've made this decision and walk alongside of you. So please reach out to us in the comments or even raise your hand if you're watching this live. Use the raise your hand button so we can pray for you so that you can experience God coming alongside of you and picking you up. Let's pray right now. Dear Jesus, God, we need you. We need to be aware of your hand on our shoulder. And we surrender everything to you again. We confess that we've sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God. And we once again, whether it's for the first time or a reaffirmation of our faith, we place our trust. We believe that you died on the cross and rose again and ask that you would fill us with your Spirit. Make us hungry and thirsty for the time with you, moment by moment. So we surrender our lives to you. Help us to live for you the rest of the days of our life. So it's about following Jesus. Let's go after the one thing, my friends. And as you go out this week, please don't forget, you can reach out to us anytime, day or night at sgbic.com and let us know what's going on in your life. We want to do this with you and encourage you. And that's the one-stop shop for everything. So please don't hesitate to reach out to us. And may this week you perceive God blessing you and keeping you and taking you through whatever comes your way. May you sense God turning his face towards you and smiling upon you. And may God give you his peace. In the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Amen.